Would you pray with me? Holy One, you give us words from our ancestors to teach us your ways. May we find wisdom in these words for a new day. Amen. There is likely no more beautiful place in the world than the Gulf Islands. And if you stand on a pier in Steveston, you can see those outlines of beauty on the horizon. So close, but not easily gotten to, it seems. And some of you know beautiful Main Island. There's a website about Main Island. It describes Maine as being halfway between Sydney Harbor on Vancouver Island and Tsawwassen, the most southwesterly piece of land on the Canadian mainland, jutting out into the Strait of Georgia, that natural jumping-off point for travelers, long before there were ferries. The website tells you how to get to Main Island. It has a list, and I like it, because the very first thing on the list, it says, is swimming. How long? And it says, a lifetime of training and 2 days swimming. Kayaking. How long? 5 or 6 hours for experienced paddlers. That would be 12 for me. And ferry, about 65 minutes. When we visited Main Island recently, because I come from a lake where people tend to have their own boats, to take them back and forth, I asked if there were people there who had their own motorboats take them back and forth, and people said, oh no, I mean, you'd have to have such a big boat to be safe, and you'd have to have a really big motor to push against the waves, and it would be very dangerous. But the same people told me why the ferry dock on Main Island is called Miner's Bay. It's because during the Fraser Valley Gold Rush, people would row a boat from Sydney to New Westminster. That was the halfway point on Main Island. So they'd stop at Main before rowing onwards across the strait. Indeed, there are even stories about the first police officer on Main Island who would row from Main Island to New Westminster because that's where the courthouse was. That was BC's capital, actually, until 1886. At any rate, at the time, rowing from Main Island, or from Vancouver Island to Vancouver, was relatively common. To most of us, that seems not just hard, but impossible. It wouldn't even be part of our thought process, like swimming, right? How do you get to Main Island? Swim, train for a lifetime, you know, swim for 2 days. Row, sort of the same. And after all, there's a ferry, and motorboats are extremely expensive. So I'd like to take you back a little further. Imagine that you have written to your friend. Both you and your friend have left home and family to undertake a great adventure. But as you go along, it's getting harder and harder. It's meaningful, but my God, it's hard. And your family tells you you're nuts and they beg you to come back. And your efforts seem futile and you feel unable to carry it out. And you tell your friend that you're giving up and you're going home. A group of Jewish Christians wrote exactly that letter to their friend and teacher about the second century AD. And it is believed that Barnabas, a disciple of Paul, wrote them back. And he wrote them back those words that you heard today about faith. That the race is not yet done. And he gave them examples of people whose stories that they would know. Abraham and Moses first, but also Gideon and Barak and Jephthah and Samson. And he used those names not because those people were saints, and not because they had special strength of character, but because the people would know that God had helped them in spite of their weakness. Barak was a military general in ancient Egypt who was shamed into acting because Deborah, the judge, agreed to lead the people in his place. He ended up going with her as general. Gideon was a judge and a ruler who set tests for God before he would agree to act. Jephthah was brave, but a very foolish man. And Samson, who was given great strength by God to defeat his enemies, but was brought low by his own foolishness and his own temptations before he brought down the temple of the Philistines. Every one of those believed that their situation was impossible, and none of them were men of great virtue. Yet the race was run and won with them. A man named Harry Cotton was asked about this passage of scripture in the 1950s, and he wrote this. Sensitive Christians will be quick to see that we live in a morally ambiguous world. Evil infects us and our institutions. There is no human cause, not even the Church of Christ, that is a pure cause, that is not infected because of human desire. And if we wait for a morally pure cause to serve, we shall wait out our days in idle futility. In all our choices between human loyalties, we must select the relatively good over the relatively evil. That's what it means to live in the world. Yet the Christian will never be content to stop here. She will be faithful in remembering her own share in the collective sins of her own group. He will let his own witness be known. He will keep taught in his own soul the tension between what God wants and what is. And he will endure as one seeing the one who is invisible, knowing that we too will not receive the promises, because a promise can only be fulfilled in a world where Christ completely reigns. If we have any imagination, we can't read those lines without lifting up our heads with a certain pride and hope. This is what God can do for all people. No estimate of human nature is adequate that doesn't make room for the heroes who won strength out of weakness. I loved this phrase, and you'll remember that we sang something really appropriate earlier. Cotton says that faith is an anchor cast into the future. When Barnabas wrote these words, he was specific that the reward for the race won would not be seen in their lifetime. The reward of Abraham was that his descendants would multiply till there were more than stars in the sky. The reward of Moses was that his people would come to be a nation in the promised land, but he would not be there to see it. Faith is like the planting of trees we won't live to be shaded by. Faith is an anchor cast into the future by people who often think the task is impossible. Like rowing from Sydney to Tsawwassen, what seems impossible is something that is often just at the very edge of our vision, slightly beyond our experience. The advantage of looking at our ancestors and our heroes of an earlier age is not because our faith resides in the past with them, but because we see how the faith anchored them to us, because we are their future. It is the same faith that can anchor us to a future of wonder and possibility. Our descendants are our anchor. May it be so. Amen. Did I get it under 10 minutes? Did you see the sign? And so let us sing.